da di da di da da di da, da di da di da da di da. What do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our expiration may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. Your net control for this session is actually Gary, KC2GA. His location is probably very cold Syracuse, New York. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Port St. Lucie, where it's very cool. Temperature is 61 degrees. It was a high of 67 today and a chilly low of 46. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. Do we have anyone celebrating a special birthday this week, last week, maybe tonight, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? Wow, no birthday stations either. I always say that means we're not getting any older. Well, good evening once again, everyone. This is the TIN Open Forum. It's our monthly Thursday informational and net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise you that this session is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been talking tonight, you're definitely going to be part of that recording. So with nothing further, I'm going to throw it all the way up to the cold Syracuse, New York. KC2GA, beautiful new call sign, Gary. Have to get used to it. Tell us how it is in Syracuse, and then the net is all yours, and hopefully you'll have a great deal of fun tonight. So KC2GA from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and I love those new calls. I'm still getting used to them, too. We are actually in a warm spell here in Syracuse. It's 30 degrees right now, which is the warmest it's been in about 3 days. Temperature actually was going up all day today. We have a little bit over 18 inches of snow on the ground here in the city. That wasn't too bad, though. The way it fell was pretty manageable, but we do have a lot of people still digging out. But I'm over here, actually, a brand new computer that I got for the new ham shack that I'm doing. I have the setup right now to test it here in the dining room, and I'm overlooking the Tree of Life, where we have our bird feeders and stuff, and I'm watching actually the neighborhood deer herd nibbling on some bird seed right now, so it's pretty cool. So let me just buy a nickel for a minute. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Okay, doesn't it seem paradoxical to you that a refrigerator can be made cold by a flame? Oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong script. We're not doing the miracle of gas refrigeration tonight. We're talking about hi-fi hams. We're talking about sounding good on the air on the St. Pat's Day edition of the TIM. So this is KC2GA, and I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about something that a lot of amateurs overlook, your station's sound. Have you ever heard a station while you're tuning around, you know, just kind of nosing around, and you hear this one station that just sounds full and smooth? And maybe you just wrote it off, or maybe you thought it was an expensive rig, or maybe you didn't think twice about it. Well, tonight, hopefully, I'll give you something to think about. Give this a listen.
CQ 6 meters. CQ 6 meters. This is KC2RMO. CQ 6 meters. CQ 6 meters. This is KC2RMO. This is KC2RMO. I was hoping to get a QSO for this, but apparently nobody's out there. I'll just make a recording of what the audio sounds like, and this should be a pretty good example. So we'll send it on down the line. This is KC2RMO clear.
I left the hiss in just for the sake of Gordon. Let me just drop it for a minute. Now, that was my old calls, obviously. We recorded that a while ago. But believe it or not, that's SSB, not AM. It's just SSB with a few tricks, but it's still a work in progress. As a matter of fact, the latest version of that, I wasn't able to record for you because I'm still rewiring everything in the shack, but we've actually taken it a few steps past that. Now, if you're the sort of operator who enjoys a good rag chew, then smooth, warm-sounding station audio is just your cup of tea. Now, if you mostly do contesting, it probably isn't going to flop your mop, but you might want to give this a listen just in case you change your mind. So we're going to be talking about hi-fi hams, but let's get started with a few check-ins right now, okay? If you just want to say hello or any thoughts on the subject, well, we'd like to hear you. Come on aboard right now. We're taking check-ins on the TIN.
Sex Victor.
Well, we had a nice early check-in from 6 Victor. Anybody else want to come aboard? Okay, nothing right now, but let's hear what 6 Victor has to say. Hello there, sir.
Thank you for running the show tonight, number one. Number two, I'm glad to see that you're approaching a heat wave up there in Syracuse. Number three, I wanted to say, isn't it grand? Isn't it colossal? Isn't it super to be on Echolink and not happen to have to listen to that background noise? KY6V, back to net.
You know, I have to tell you, I love it. I got this. I bought a new computer for the shack, I really hadn't even used the old one, so I was kind of half attributing it to maybe a better sound card or whatever, but it sounds great. I'm really, really happy with it. So I'm saying two enthusiastic thumbs up on that one. Definitely sounds better. And that, of course, is what tonight is all about. We're talking about sounding good. Before we get back to that heat wave, 30 degrees. We're going to be topping out tomorrow at 36, and then on top of the 18 inches of snow we already have, we're going to be getting more snow and a little bit of rain, and then it's going to turn back to snow through the weekend, so we're going to have 18 inches of slop on the ground. So it's really lovely. It's part of life in Syracuse. but great to hear from you. I hope you'll stick in through the rest of the net. And pitch right in there, because it's great to hear your voice. So what are we talking about? We're talking about sounding good on the air. Not just the way you talk, but the way you sound, okay? And here's a couple of guidelines before we get into everything. Don't go crazy with this, okay? Too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Now, if you do a little research, you'll find out there's a segment of hams out there that are into voodoo audio. Now, that's heavily modified transmitters that sound very much like broadcast stations. Now, you can do it, sure, but running 8K of bandwidth, which just as a point of reference, an AM broadcast station is 10K. It's really inconsiderate. Work with what you got. It's better for everybody. Let's take a little break here for a second. Secondly, you do not have to go broke doing this. For under $100, you can make a difference that people can hear. Okay, how do we get there? We'll start with step one. Know your rig. Modern transceivers offer some pretty sophisticated audio options. I operate an FTDX-1200. There are well over a dozen audio tweaks and transmit audio options available, including parametric EQ and compression split into parametric bands. And that's very similar, by the way, to some forms of broadcast equalization. Also, some Yaesus offer a transmit audio mode called TTFB, which allows you to transmit in reasonably full fidelity. Other radios might have a similar setting. I don't know. Check your manual on that, okay? Now, if you're rolling off your transmit audio at 2.5K, even a tweak up to 3K will make an audio difference. Okay? That's step one. So let's just think about that for a minute. Know your rig. Know what you can get away with, and check in right now, okay? I'm going to ask the question, have you ever considered maybe jazzing up the audio on your station? Has that ever appealed to you? I'm going to throw that out right now for people to comment on, and then we'll go right back to what we were talking about. This is KC2GA, and we're taking check-ins right now on the TIN.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Rick, it's nice to hear your voice. How are you, sir?
Yeah, KC2GA and the net and 1PXP. Doing pretty good. I've had my ups and downs, and I don't think I've told you since my last, I had a major, I suffered a stroke, a minor stroke. I'm having a little bit of trouble walking, but getting therapy on it. Otherwise, health-wise, I'm doing pretty good. This is not so much for ham radio, but you mentioned about getting a new computer, and I've noticed that on several laptops I've had, the sound card that's in there, they can vary from laptop to laptop. In fact, actually, I'm running on a smartphone, and it has Dolby Audio, and apparently, I guess it works both on the receive as well as the transmit, that I can adjust it and not get that high tinny sound radio kind of audio, but more realistic. I really find that devices are out there that you don't... I just couldn't believe when I found this on my smartphone. I didn't even know it was there. And I'll tell you... It makes a difference. People do say, wow, I hear you much better. And I can hear them equally. I don't have to hear all that high pitch. But it's something laptops also have. I could add more, but I will let you find more people up with comments. KC2GA and 1PXP.
Hey, thank you, Rick. It is great to hear you, and your audio sounds fantastic, and I'm wishing you just a ton and a half of luck in recovering. I know my mom was a stroke victim, and I've had a couple of TIAs myself, so I know how that goes, and I just wish you all the success in the world in your recovery, that's for sure. Yeah, there, you know, there is just a huge variation in sound cards. And for instance, the computer I'm using right now, you would not think would have the audio capabilities of the computer I usually use. This is a business class desktop that I'm using, But the components are top notch. They're wonderful, and they definitely beat the audio that's in the HP that I normally use in that pavilion. So this is just phenomenal. So this is my computer that I use to run the digital portion of the station, and it's also very, very good for using on Echolink. So you're right. There's a huge variation in sound cards. And your phone sounds phenomenal. Just great listening to you through the headset. So that's for sure. Let me just buy a nickel. If you're just joining us, we're talking about being a hi-fi ham, sounding good on the air. It's just funny. You know, everybody's got their thing. My thing kind of gravitated towards, I've got a radio station. Let's make it sound as good as we can, right? So how do you do it? We're talking about how you get there. And we talked about some things a little earlier, and we're going to further it. We'll go to step two. Step two is developing an ear, all right? An ear for what you sound like and an ear for what sounds good to you. Now, if your radio includes a monitor circuit, use it. Don't be mic shy. Even with my voice right now, I still like listening to myself. This is radio, after all. The sound of, some folks will say that they hate the sound of their voice. Well, I love the sound of mine. And listening to yourself is the best way to benchmark the quality of your audio. Now, it also helps to refine your technique on the air. If you don't have monitor capabilities, see if you can get a respectable listen to as you listen to yourself on a spare receiver. Now that you have an idea for what things are sounding like, how do you want them to sound? Remember, it would be great to sound like KHJ or Wolf or CKLW back in the day, but this is amateur radio, so set a reasonable goal. Talking about sounding good, and we're going to take a little break for some more check-ins on the TIN. This is KC2GA, and we're looking for you right now.
Thank you, Bravo 7, X-Ray Oscar.
X-Ray Oscar, come on aboard.
Yeah, KC2GA. Good evening, good morning from YB7XO here in Borneo. An interesting topic about the Hi-Fi SSB, over.
Thank you. It's something I've always kind of embraced, and I've been doing some work with it, and we're going to give some tips about sounding a little better on the air. How is the weather in Borneo, and what time of day is it?
Roger, Gary. Name here is Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y. It's 7:18 a.m. in the morning, and the sun is shining, and that's very good because I'm about to go in less than an hour. Temperatures it's about 27 to 29 degrees centigrade. Gary, let me pause. Okay, so what I would like to comment that this Hi-Fi SSD has been going on for at least more than a decade, and lots of hams here also been experimenting with that kind of stuff. You know, they have stacked their audio system from equalizer to parametrics, whatever, equalizer, not to mention the amplifier to boost the signal up. Well, Gary, I'm not against the progress. I've been a ham for quite a while. I do DIY myself, experimenting with electronics since day one. But SSB was meant to be, you know, narrow, save the bandwidth for long distance communication, and keep it around 3 kilohertz. As you mentioned earlier, AM is about 10, right? Around 10 kilohertz, which is why, that's why it's good for music. Back in the old ham, broadcast. Even though we still have a AM broadcast here in my location here, some station, most of them are now in FM, but locally we have still about one or two stations still active on AM. So some boys here, let me pause again. Some station here, and also some, I also have been, having a KSO with also from the state side, especially from W6s in California, who also experimenting with this wide SSB madness. I can hear them on upper sideband. I can hear them on lower sideband, even on AM, you know, because it's very wide. Like I'm operating on 7.125 on 40 meters. I can also hear them on 7200. Like it's very wide, so it's begin to, interfering each other, so it's bad. Back in the old days, we need to fix the transmitter before we use it for on the air, purposes. But this hi-fi SSB experimenter just do it while they're online. While they're on the air. So again, I'm not against the progress, but I just don't agree with it, And putting so much bass on your audio, you won't get very far. Your signal 59 plus 40 dB, but I'm with 100 watts with good compression, and keep the high pitch on my audio. I can even reach far compared to them with those hi-fi SSB. Back to you, Gary.
This is KC2GA. This is the TIN. On South Carson. Ricky, thank you for your comments. You're right in a lot of regards. I mentioned a little bit earlier about some of these stations that do what is called voodoo audio, and they are way outside of what one would consider normal parameters. And they sound great. I'm not gonna tell you they don't. They really sound phenomenal. But That's being inconsiderate, especially if you're in a crowded segment of the band. What I'm talking about here is making the best of what you got, and without stepping on anybody's toes. Okay, you had mentioned you're in pretty good shape as far as your audio, and you're using good compression. I'm going to talk about a few other things involving compression and some other processing that you may not be aware of. That again will make you let you make the best out of what you've got. Okay, so this may actually sound good to you. We'll see. We're talking about hi-fi, being a hi-fi ham tonight. And we're going to go on to the next segment of our little presentation right now. We're on step three right now. Step three is set a budget for yourself. Ricky was talking to Ricky about how to set. A lot of guys have some very elaborate stations and gals, and you would be amazed if you go on the internet and research this. I have seen broadcast stations with less in their audio chain than some of these guys have. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Let me buy a nickel. What I'm talking about is being able to do some significant improvement in your audio for a couple hundred bucks, and you can do it in stages even. You can sound good on the cheap. Okay, so how do you do it? What's your first step, practical step? The single biggest improvement you can make to your station audio is to upgrade the microphone. Now, even if you're not going to get into anything elaborate other than that, a microphone upgrade is going to make you sound, at the very least, smoother. It's also the easiest upgrade you can do. But you need to know a few things. What type of microphone does your rig use? Some use dynamic microphones, others use condenser types. Both are good, but they are not interchangeable. Your manual will tell you what type of a mic to use. Now, when it comes to microphones, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I do have a mic locker, okay? Nowadays, there are so many good mics out there, it's really hard to say no to a lot of them. You know, they're just there. You can get an excellent microphone, dynamic or condenser, for well under $100. My on-the-air mic is a Behringer C1. Which retails for about $49, and it sounds like it costs $490. It's a great mic, and you really can't beat it for the price. Not necessarily endorsing a Behringer C1, but it's one of the good mics that are inexpensive that you can look at. Let me buy a nickel. Just as a quick disclaimer, I'm going to be mentioning a lot of brand names here. I'm not endorsing any one particular, but They're a place to start working from. You can check these things out and see how they suit you, or if you want something a little more or a little less, it's a reference point. This is the equipment that I'm familiar with. So most of this is the equipment that I use. So you can just kind of form your own opinion based on that. Okay. Now for dynamics, you just can't beat the workhorse of the audio industry, and that's the Shure SM57. It's a great vocal and instrument recording mic. It's probably just the best all around mic that you can use, and you can snag one for about $99. But like the guy on TV says, wait, there's more. It turns out there are a number of Chinese SM57 clones. In my never-ending quest to get good audio on the cheap, I picked up a microphone called a GLS ES57. They weren't very subtle when they named it, were they? And it sounds very close to an SM57. The price tag? $29. It's true. You can go to Amazon and put that in the search, a GLS ES57. For $29, you can get the closest thing to an SM57 that you can find. Other dynamics that I like are a little pricier. The Shure 55SH, which you might know as the Elvis mic, retails for about $179. And if you want to put a real broadcast mic in your shack, and I guarantee you're going to love it, get an Electro Voice RE320. It sounds incredible, but it will set you back about $250. Buy a nickel and be back in a second. Now, we've been talking about dynamic microphones. How about condenser microphones? Now, remember, these need an external voltage to work, or you could get a microphone called an Electret type, which has a permanently charged condenser in it. But most of these will require you to supply a voltage. If your rig doesn't supply it, you have to, either with an external power supply or through a mixer. Now, my picks, you just can't beat that Behringer C1 for $49. It sounds very, very much like a high-grade studio microphone. The Audio-Technica AT2020 is a good choice at $99. And I also like the MXL990 for $99 as well. There are a ton of inexpensive condenser mics out there, and they usually sound pretty good. Read the reviews and make your choice. We're talking about hi-fi hamming here on the TIN. I'm KC2GMA, and I'm looking for check-ins right now.
Six Victor,
come on aboard.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. Hello to Ricky down there. Nice to hear him this evening, too. You know, I was sitting back thinking, you're putting out some wonderful information, Gary. Something that a person ought to do is to get a little bit of background knowledge on how the normal human voice works. And you'd be surprised at what you can do once you get into that type of information. You'll find that there are clusters of sounds that are made with overtone or harmonical, you know, type cohesiveness. Is that the word I want? Any rate, you'll find out that there's a point where the amplitude is reasonably high in some of the low bass regions, and then it sort of flattens out, and then it starts to pick up about 800 to 1,000 cycles, or hertz, as they say these days, and so on. So if you have this knowledge and have done this research and you understand it, you can then get into the equalizing departments and so on and so forth, and cater your voice to what you want to hear and get the bang for the buck. I feel that that's very important. Now, we are limited, obviously. Let me buy a nickel. The fact that we can't sing legally. We can't play an instrument, so, you know, if you don't want all of that overtone cohesiveness that I mentioned here a moment ago, you know, you don't need the 3KC, the 8KC, and all of that kind of stuff. Just food for thought. You can do an awful lot once you know how your voice works and what it does when it does work. Back to net, KY6V. Thanks, Gary.
You must be holding a hammer, Gordon, because you hit the nail right on the head. That is something I'm going to be talking about in just a little bit. It's really important to think about what Gordon just said, about how the human voice works and how everybody's voice is unique. If you get in tune with the sound of your own voice, you can make the most out of what you've got. Now, before my voice was damaged, I had a certain frequency curve that was always a standard. Whenever I was, if I was in the production studio, or if I was here at home, or if I was setting up a rig for on the air, I would follow that, okay? I'd have a bump of about 4 to 6 dB around 200 hertz. I'd go up a couple of dB at 800 hertz, and I'd go up a little bit at 3,500 hertz. That always was pretty much my standard area to focus on. And of course, that would change according to the microphone you're using, but, you know, pretty much that was the standard that I was playing with. Let me buy a nickel. Now that I'm dealing with a new voice, I've set the EQ a little differently, okay? I still have that 200 hertz bump, but I also have a secondary bump at around 400 hertz because it helps to compensate for some of the low mid-range that I lost when my voice was damaged. The high end, I still push around 3 to 3,500, but it's not quite as profound as it was before. But those are the parameters that I'm basically working with. But once you get to know the sound of your voice, and once you get to know about how an equalizer works, you can add or subtract frequencies to make the most out of the voice that you have. It's fun to play around with. If anything, you know, you can certainly have endless fun with that, you know. But the other side of that is with, for instance, with the Yaesu rig that I use, it has a parametric equalizer. And what that does is it splits the equalization into bands of frequencies that you can control the bandwidth of, okay? So you can have a tight band at 200 hertz or a broad band at 200 hertz. And it's very very helpful for pinpointing a certain power curve in your voice, let's say. If you happen to have a little bit of resonance at the low end of around 100 hertz, 200 hertz, go to a tight band in that frequency range, and you'll bring that up. You'll pronounce that, and you'll have an additional resonance. Let me buy a nickel. So that's one thing that you can play with. The other thing is that the secondary function of that parametric equalization on the Yaesu is that it also lets you compress by frequency band. So again, I can increase my resonance at a frequency, and I can also increase my vocal power by compressing in that specific band of frequencies, rather than a generalized band of frequencies. So, a lot of experimentation. Just get in there and play with it. That's my thing. If you don't feel good about playing with it on the air, I think Ricky made mention of that. There are those that will go on as well. You know, let me just jack this up 10 dB. Don't do that. Okay, get an idea of what you want to sound like before you make the thing live. Okay, and then, you know, put it on the air, and like they used to say, run it up the flagpole and see who salutes. But it all gets into developing an ear for good audio and taking your expertise. Remember, we are licensed ham radio operators. We actually have proven that we have a degree of expertise in these things. Take that expertise and put it to good use. Okay, you're going to broaden your horizons. That's for sure. Let me buy another nickel, and I'm going to go on to a little bit more about this stuff as we continue to talk about hi-fi hamming here on the TIN. This is KC2GA on the TIN, and we were talking about hi-fi hamming, and a little bit earlier we were talking about condenser microphones and dynamic microphones, and we've got plenty more to talk about there. There are some excellent offerings no matter where you look. We've talked about Shure and Electro Voice and Behringer and AT. Bob Heil, who you may be you're familiar with from Ham Nation. Heil is also a great source for microphones and cabling. And he's also worth checking out. His mics are a bit pricey, but they're also very good. I used a Heil ICM on my Icom, on my 735 for years, and I always got absolutely great audio reports from that. Now remember, most of these mics are studio mics with an XLR connector. So you're going to need an adapter, an XLR to whatever rig, whatever plug your rig uses. Now, we were talking about equalizers, okay? And what is an equalizer? Well, an equalizer lets you add or subtract frequencies within the audio spectrum. One of the better equalizers out there, it's specifically made for ham radio use, is the W2IHY line of equalizers and equalizer compressors that again, are specifically made for ham radio. A guy by the name of Julius is W2IHY. He has been making this stuff for years. It's high quality and works very, very well. I use, in some iterations, I use a W2IHY EQ. However, I'm changing my chain radically. I may be using that on another rig, or I may be using that here on the VoIP side of things. It's going to be finding a different home as I take the approach that I will be talking about in a little bit. Going to let it drop for a second here. Now you can take an approach like I do. I use a mixer and an external audio chain that make up the totality of this thing. I use a small Behringer Xenix, that's spelled X-E-N-Y-X, mixer to run my mic into. I like Behringer because it's inexpensive, offers high quality sound, but there are many, many similar small mixers out there. Most of them are very good. Now, why use a mixer? Well, it gives me flexibility and I can expand my chain, which I'll be talking about in a little bit, by doing things like adding external compression and peak limiting. Now, I can also use the EQ on the mixer to augment the settings on the radio. There is also, if you're a fan of Ham Nation, they did a show really on what I'm talking about right now, and they went into depth actually on how to set up a mixer and use it ahead of your rig. So if you want to Google that, just do Ham Nation and mixer or whatever, you'll find it there. I don't know the show number, but it'll come up, and very entertaining, very informative. Now, other things to consider. You know, you get all this good sound, and I must tell you that when you start using equalization, and you start using compression, more compression than what you're normally used to using, you're going to be bringing up noise. Okay, if you have any vibrations, or if you know hit on the table or whatever, that's going to transfer. Okay. One way to get around that is to use a shock mount for your microphone. They are very inexpensive. You can pay a lot of money for them too, but again, go on eBay, find a shock mount that'll fit your mic. That makes a huge amount of difference. Another thing that you can do is build an audio carrel. It's C-A-R-R-E-L. It's a little mini booth, if you will. Gives you an isolation shield to eliminate room and equipment noise from your signal. It's kind of counterproductive to go through all this stuff to make yourself sound good, and then all of a sudden have a bunch of noise that kind of ruins it, okay? So, having said that, I think it's time that I take a sip of iced tea here and get some folks jumping in here for some check-ins. So what do you say we do it? We're taking check-ins right now on the TIN. I'm KC2GA, and this is South Cars.
Seven Ocean,
come on aboard.
Well, good evening, Gary. KC2GA. This is NO70. I'm having a hard time with that new call because before you were root mean options as in root mean squared, and now it's GA as in go ahead for the next person to speak. Just kidding. It's a great sounding call, Gary. So the question I have for you is with the microphones that you listed earlier, were all of those an XLR connector on the end supplied with XLR, or were any of those USB or mini audio plugs on any of those microphones? Could you help me out with how those would be connected to the desktop computer for EchoLink? KC2GA, thank you, Gary, NO7F.
Hey, thank you, George. It's great to hear from you, by the way. I love those new calls. I have big signs all over the place here, KC2GA, so I don't give out the old call. But you've asked a very good question. You know, that is one of the advantages right there to using a mixer, okay? You can go direct. There are some mixers out there that will let you go direct from the output of that mixer to USB on a computer, and they're going to set you back a huge amount of money. You're talking about $50 here. I just looked at one on Amazon yesterday. I just saw one of those, $59, and very, very nice. XLR input, yes, just to get back to the original question, all these mics that I mentioned were XLR in, but you can change the out via the mixer, okay? Also, there's adapter cables, and there's boxes that you can use to adapt to. So don't let the XLR scare you away. There's plenty of ways to get that signal either into your computer or into your rig, okay? You can use a direct, if you're talking about going into a rig, Heil, I was just talking about Heil, makes probably 8 or 10 different adapter cables, XLR to ICOM, or XLR to Yaesu or Tentec or whatever. They have a big variety in their availability. So if you can get the mic, you can get that signal into just about anything. Did that answer your question?
KC2GA and 070. You sure did, Gary. It's good to know what to plan for and whether, if one is buying the equipment in stages, whether the XLR would go, would need to be accommodated. You did answer the question perfectly, and I appreciate the info. Thank you very much, Gary. KC2GA in the TIN and 070. Back to you, Gary.
This is KC2GA. Thanks, George. The whole thing is, and you made a good point there too, about doing this in stages. You do not have to drop a lot of money to do this, and you can do this all in stages. I would personally say, the first investment that you'd want to make is just do the mic upgrade at first, because if anything. You're not going to hear this big. You're not going to hear a giant increase in fidelity, but you will hear a giant increase in smoothness, and you will have it'll be more responsive to your voice. So again, for that, for as little as I've seen. I've got a microphone that's a Chinese clone of a blue bottle mic. Okay. And a blue bottle mic that goes for about $200 up, this job that I bought was $29, and it sounds good. Okay, it doesn't sound as good as the blue, obviously, but you can take something like that and put it into use with a situation like we're doing now with a VoIP. Conference like this, and it'll sound great. It really will. They even give you a XLR to USB cable with that thing. So it's really, you can do amazing things with a little bit of bucks. Personally, if when in doubt, stick with the stuff that is known good. If you're not familiar with some of these. I mean, everybody knows an SM57. Go out and buy the real thing. Buy a Shure mic, buy an Electro Voice mic. But if you're familiar with some of the other ones, Behringer make. Like I say, I'm not a spokesman for Behringer, but I've gotten some great stuff through them. I'd love an RE320, but for $50, I'm very happy with what I got. Let me buy a nickel here. So my first thought would be buy the microphone and the proper interface, and then later on you can expand, get yourself a mixer, and if you have to change some cabling for that, you can do that. You can just keep going piece by piece by piece by piece and build the thing up. Now, I bet you never thought this end of ham radio could be so involved. Is it worth it? Well, if you like having a sound that's pleasant to the listener while chewing the proverbial rag, it sure is. Plus, it's fun to play with. At least I enjoy it. If you want to do a lot of contest work, nope. It's not going to be the road you want to travel. That D104 you got will do just fine. Have some fun and sound good with it. That is without a doubt the way to fly. Now, I've been talking about some other things other than EQ and compression. So what else you got in the bag of tricks? Well, I am in the process of revamping KC2GA, okay, and I kind of wanted to have an example of what we were putting out, but I don't have the thing wired up yet. It's kind of a crazy week, so I fell behind schedule on that. What I'm doing is doing the chain the way I wanted it, and I started out by taking everything, and I'm talking about the FTDX 1200, all my digital stuff, the signal link and my antenna tuner and everything, the whole ball of wax, plus the audio processing equipment. and I'm putting it into an equipment rack. Let me buy a nickel. And you might say, an equipment rack? What's this guy talking about? Well, it's what professional installations use. If you're in IT, you've seen plenty of equipment mounted in racks. Well, they do the same thing in recording studios and in broadcast stations. It's a 19-inch wide standard, and everything's marked out in units. You know, 1U is 1¾ inches, 2U is 3¼, and this is how you figure how the equipment will fit in. I've taken my entire station, which was kind of scattered out all over the place, and I've gone vertical with it, so I have everything in one audio rack. And I don't know how to transfer a picture. I don't know if you can across the chat on EchoLink, but maybe we'll get it loaded up to the website, and you can have an idea what this thing looks like. Personally, I love it. It's great. But one of the key factors, one of the key players in the equipment on that on this rack is that I've eliminated the mixer, for now anyway, because what I have is a multi-purpose audio processing unit. I'm going to let it drop. And what this multi-purpose unit lets me do is set my EQ, set my compression, and it also allows me to use what is probably the best finesse item that you can come up with in a situation like that. And that is something called peak limiting. All right. So now we have compression, we have equalization, and this thing called peak limiting. What is it? Well, peak limiting is basically compression, but it's much, much faster, and it's much more severe. All right. So if compression gives you a relatively stable audio field, right, brings up the quiet sounds and squishes the too loud sounds. Well, peak limiting does this only much more quickly and much deeply. And when you combine the two, you have the secret that makes people sound really great on the air. That is the sound. Okay, so and then you know when you have it well equalized and well compressed and you let it hit that peak limiter, mamma mia, you're gonna sound good. Okay, it's the key. So I'm working on that. That's being wired in, and hopefully maybe we'll do another TIN. Part 3 on hi-fi hamming, and we'll let you hear what that sounds like. So we're getting near the end of the first hour. I'm going to throw it open to some talk now. Okay, some comments and some questions. Have I piqued your curiosity on this at all? We're taking check-ins right now on the TIN. I'm KC2GA, and this is South Cars.
Six Victor,
hello there, sir.
Thanks, Gary. KY6V, boy, I'll tell you what, you're bringing back great memories. I liked your idea about the 19-inch rack. Going vertical, you said. Very outstanding. You know, I had to sit back and smile when you were talking about equalization and so on and so forth. And again, I'm getting back to this point that, you know, we are in the voice mode here. We're not in the music mode. So we can do a lot to enhance ourselves that we really haven't thought about. But it reminded me of a story that will tickle you being in broadcasting also, Gary, is that, you know, general managers change from time to time, and you get one general manager and says, you know, how come our programs don't sound as good as Station X down the block? And then you'll say, well, sir, it's because they're a talk show and they're not running any music. if you want to sound like them, all I have to do is throw this knob down a little bit, and I can get you right where you want to be. But when your next program comes up, and it's music, you're going to come back to me and say, how come we don't sound like Station Y? You got to decide, Gary. KY6V, back to you.
It's KC2GA. Gordon, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to ask for your comment on the when I'm done. That was exactly right. And one of the our station manager, when I was program director at the station, our station manager was so cheap, he didn't really care what you did. It wasn't even cost him anything. I had a cheap engineer who was a very good engineer, but he had a very conservative ear. Very conservative ear. He wanted everything flat as a pancake, you know. And I was of a different ilk. I wanted a little different sound than that. The only thing that was going to be fatiguing to listen to, but I wanted, you know, something a little more lively and a little more punch. We used to have everything from sessions of me begging him for hours to do things. Fortunately, I had full control of the production studio, so, you know, whatever went on there was my thing. But the thing I wanted your comment on, I was going to ask for your comment on, was you're absolutely right about we are in the voice business. And I can think of no better example of what you can do with a limited range of frequencies than the old mutual broadcasting system. If you remember listening to some of those shows, you know, back from the 70s and 80s, when Mutual was using landlines, not satellite feeds, and they did every trick that you could possibly do to make that sound good. They had very limited bandwidth, but they always had a big sound. You know, it wasn't what you would call hi-fi, but it really sounded good. So that's my benchmark. That's where I'm going for is that mutual sound. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's spot on, Gary. You know, you're going in the absolute correct direction. Again, you know, I'm saying this too often here tonight, but you've got to focus on the voice and build around that voice. And if you're going to do it right, focus within a 3KC bandwidth. And, you know, that's what the telephone boys were doing. That's what Mutual was doing. They were fighting 3D, Gary, KY6V, over.
You know, $50, $100 tweaks, you can really take it to the next step. It's impressive. It really is impressive. I know just fooling around here locally. I just brought this online about a month ago here. And I know, you know, the local nets, it's just been, hey, that's awesome. You know, people have just been going nuts for it. And I'm kind of really interested to see how it's going to sound like on phase two, because we've got a little more sophistication on it, you know. Phase one was okay, I got a pretty good idea of what this is going to sound like. Let's let it rip. Phase two is a little more finesse. So I think that's going to be kind of neat, too. But, yeah, I think Mutual is the way to go. Does anybody else remember Mutual? We'll take comments right now. This is KC2GA. I guess not a lot of folks remembering the Mutual Broadcasting System. But those who do, it sounded good. It really did. It sounded excellent. So that's the one thing that we've been doing. Couple other tips, just as long as we have a moment or two, try this business with the equipment rack, and like I said, I'm going to try and get a picture of that thing up on the website so you can see what it is. It's really a great way to go, and I'm really looking forward to operating with this thing in place. Actually, I'm going to go, the master plan for the studio is actually calling for two racks. I'm going to have one rack, which is for the station itself, and the second rack is going to hold the computer equipment and a 21-inch monitor. How are you going to put a 21-inch monitor in a 19-inch space? Well, I actually have the answer to that. Mount it on a shelf inside and let the two outside edges go, you know, to the outside edge of the rack. It works. I tested it. It worked beautiful, at least with the monitors I've got. So one's going to be for auxiliary stuff and computer equipment as well. Frees up a lot of desk space, and it looks really, really, really cool. What else do I have here? Oh, yeah. If you have a lot of equipment mounted like that, good idea, very, very good idea, to invest maybe $10 or so and get yourself a nice cooling fan and mount it wherever it's appropriate. Get some air moving in there. The number one destroyer of really nice equipment is heat. So get fresh air in and hot air out. And certainly no shortage of hot air around here. That's for sure. What else do we have? What else do we have? I wanted to throw out your way. Just to remind you that anything that you have set up for your on-the-air situation, for your actual radio station, you can utilize on your computer, okay? Probably the curve that you have set for being on the air is probably very good for what you're going to use here on Echolink. So you can have two outputs. Feed one to the computer, feed the other to the rig, and everybody's happy. It's going to sound good. I just timed out, didn't I? Let's see if anybody wants to say anything. And if not, we'll make it last call. So anybody want to come aboard and join us on the TIN? This is KC2GA looking for check-ins right now.
Yeah, 6 Vector for a short.
Always welcome, sir. Come on aboard.
First of all, the purple crystal's already in the mail to you for timing out. Number two, if you want me to post that picture on the website, I'd be very happy to do so, but under one condition. You got everybody pumped up here on the subject. I want to see in that picture and in this 19-inch rack at least a 26 dual jack audio panel so you can patch around everything, including the coffee pot. KY6V, over.
I want to tell you, I did have a patch bay originally set in for that, okay? And as you, when I send you the picture, you'll see I have a ventilator panel in there where that was to go. The only reason I didn't include it right now was I was trying to keep costs down. And I said, well, I'm never going to have time to build the thing. So I would buy one, you know. And there were a couple out there that weren't a bad price. But I said, gee, you know, for what I've got right now, the bay is kind of a luxury, so I'd hold it off for future. But you can see where it's going to go. Okay, so I'll send you that, and you can see the future home. What do you think about that?
That'll work. Then when you broaden out to video, I want to see a video patch panel, too. Thanks, Gary. KY6V.
This is KC2GA. Just in case. Folks may not be familiar with what a patch panel is. It allows you a huge degree in flexibility on how you interconnect equipment. So if I want to take the output of my mixer and put it over to the input of my ham radio rig, with one cable I can do that. I can go out to in, or I can have it permanently assigned, which is called normaled, to a particular signal path. So if I want to take all the audio output from my mixer, and I know I'm always going to normal it to this particular compressor, I can have a dedicated connection to that. I can take the output of that compressor and feed it into a multitude of other different inputs. So it's a very, very, very handy thing to have. If you don't have a lot of ins and outs, it is kind of a luxury. And pretty much I used up everything that I needed right inside that rack. But there will be a patch bay in that rack one day. So we'll get that on the web page, and you can kind of see what we're talking about, and you'll see how all this kind of works together. Okay, anybody else out there want to check in before we want to call this, make this the last call to breakfast? We'll take check-ins right now. Okay, it's quiet. So I hope you've enjoyed this. This is something that I think if you play around with it, it really does. You get the bug. You really do. And I think too that folks you're talking with. We've got one check-in coming out here. Oh, he's driving. Okay. Consider yourself checked in. VK2DY, you are checked in. You get the bug, and folks listening to you definitely get a good end of the deal. You become a joy to listen to. We've kind of started a mini, a little movement up here, at least on the local 6 meter nets. We're some of the best sounding 6 meter nets around, and we're getting better all the time. It works wonderfully for rag chewing on any of the bands. And really, the thing is too, consider what we've done, what we're talking about. We're talking about making the best of what you've got. You heard that little sample of SSB. Imagine how good that would sound on AM. And I think one of these weeks we're going to do a TIN on AM, because that's my favorite. I love the sound of it. So I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for participating. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. This has been Southguards, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIP net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Actually, that's changed. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2GA, saying 7-3, and closing this VoIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is closed.
Da-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee-da. What do you hear over the air? CQ serenade. So you don't know just what it means. Dust your shoes off, shake out your jeans. Get on your feet, jump to the beat of CQ serenade.